I'm Budsamudra Knox, and you're listening to Inspiration Sounds, stories from the heart of the world. This is episode 18, and our weekly podcast available on iTunes right around the world. And wherever you are, I do hope that you're well and that you're ready for this episode of stories from Sri Chinmoy's collection of books, Great Indian Meals, which are both divinely delicious and supremely nourishing. Now, most of the stories are not original, but rather are a part of storytelling history, handed down generation to generation from land to land. And Sri Chinmoy here gives his version of some classic tales from India's history, enriching us with the truth and knowledge of the sacred past. So put your feet up and relax and listen to these stories from the heart of the world. A Son's Devotion, written by Sri Chinmoy, dramatized by Budsamudra Knox. One day, an old man walked a long distance to see how the rice was growing in his paddies. When he came home, he was dead tired. His son, who was very, very spiritual, began to devotedly massage his father's feet while the old man was resting. The father was relaxing with his eyes closed, appreciating his son's devotedness and the good massage. After about half an hour, the father fell fast asleep. All of a sudden, the son saw Lord Krishna standing right before him, watching his devotedness with appreciation and admiration. For a few seconds, the son folded his hands and then he continued massaging his father's feet. He said to Krishna, "Oh Lord, I am so happy that you have come to see me. I pray to you every day most soulfully, but now you have come at a time when I am massaging my father's feet. Look, there is a chair over there. Would you kindly get the chair and sit down? At this moment I cannot bring it to you." Krishna said, "No, I have been sitting for a long time. I can't sit anymore. And you are massaging your father's feet, so you are unable to come over here to me."
"Oh, Krishna," said the son, "I see your presence inside my father. Since I have already started massaging him, will you not forgive me?"
"What is there to forgive? Nothing pleases me more than to see someone do his duty. You have received illumination. In your father, you see my presence, so you don't have to come to me." While this conversation was going on, the father woke up.
"What are you doing? With whom are you speaking?"
"I was speaking with Lord Krishna."
"Lord Krishna? Where is he?"
"He appeared here, and I did not go to him because I was massaging you."
"You fool! I have been crying to see Lord Krishna, and you have actually talked to him without even offering him something to sit on."
"Well, I did ask, but he said he was not tired and he appreciated my devotedness to you."
"What kind of son do I have? I am only a mortal, an ordinary human being. The Lord himself came, but you could not go and see him. Oh, Lord Krishna, forgive my son and forgive me for having such an idiot in the family."
"Well, say what you want, but you know that in you I always feel the presence of my Lord Krishna. So when I didn't go to him, he did not mind. On the contrary, he was very proud of me because I was doing my duty. Krishna said that nothing pleased him more than to see someone doing his duty."
"If what you are saying is all true, then I am really blessed that I have such a nice, wise, soulful and devoted son who can bring Krishna to us. But blind I shall always be. It seems I shall never see him. Even if my eyes had not been closed, perhaps I would not have seen him with my naked human eyes. You were able to see Krishna because he opened your third eye, the eye that sees. I am so proud that at least my son has seen him. But how I wish I could know for sure that this is all true.
At that moment, Krishna appeared and said, "It is all true, all true. It is because of your son's faithfulness and one-pointed devotedness to you that today you are seeing me. In you, your son saw me, and that is the supreme realization. Now you, the father, try to see me also in your son. Then you also will be blessed with the supreme realization that I am in all, with all, and for all. I am the creation. I am the creator. I am the life of the creation and the light of the creator. Again, I am the one who is all light, all life, all compassion, all oneness, all satisfaction, and all perfection. See this, and feel this in all, and then grow into this realization." Both father and son fell down at Krishna's feet and said,
"Krishna, O infinity's Lord, you have come to us with a finite form so we can touch you, feel you, and become like you. Infinite is your greatness. Eternal is your goodness."
The goddess Ganga descends to earth. Written by Sri Chinmoy. Dramatized by Budhsamudra Knox. The greatest of all sacrificial rites is Ashwamedha, the horse sacrifice. In performing Ashwamedha, the owner of a horse will meditate most soulfully and offer some mantras to the horse. Then he will allow the horse to leave his home and roam all over the countryside. The owner has to fight with whoever captures the horse and bring him back. Then only the sacrifice can take place. Once a great king named Shagar wanted to perform this rite. Already King Shagar had performed Ashwamedha 99 times, and this was to be his 100th time. Indra, the king of the gods, had only been able to perform this particular sacrifice 100 times, and he became terribly jealous of the king. Since Indra wanted to ruin the king's sacrifice, he stole the horse. Shagar sent his son with a large army to find the culprit, and Indra was afraid he would be caught. So he entered into the netherworld, first tying up the horse near a great sage who was meditating. After some time, Shagar's soldiers saw the animal near the sage, and they thought it was the sage who had stolen the horse. The soldiers said, "The sage is so unwise to keep the horse tied so close to him. He should have at least let the horse go away. Now, it is obvious who the thief is." So they started beating the sage most mercilessly. Suddenly, the sage opened up his third eye, and in a fleeting minute,
He killed Shigar's son and the entire army of 6,000 soldiers. When his son and the army did not return, King Shigar sent his grandson to find out where they were. The grandson looked for the horse and finally found the animal near the sage. The sage told him what had happened.
"Please, you have to return the horse," the boy said.
"No. Tell your grandfather, the king, that I won't tolerate this kind of thing. His soldiers struck me mercilessly, thinking I was the thief."
"Oh, sage, what is to be done now? So many good men have died."
"Only if the river Ganga comes down from heaven and touches these dead bodies with its water will they be revived. But for that, you will have to pray and meditate for years."
The grandson returned to the king with the sad news. King Shigar immediately agreed to pray and meditate to please the goddess Ganga. He began meditating and praying most intensely. But in a few years' time, he died. Then the grandson, Angshuman, began meditating. But in a few years, he also died. His son Dilip prayed and meditated for a few years and also died. Then his son, Bhagirath, also began praying and meditating most earnestly. And finally, his prayer was heard by the goddess Ganga. Ganga appeared before him and said, "Before you, your father's father and also his grandfather all prayed to me. Their accumulated prayer and your prayer have touched the very depth of my heart. Therefore, I am going to come down. But if I descend to earth with my tremendous speed, I will destroy the world. There has to be someone who is spiritually very great to hold back my speed and power, and that can only be Shiva." Bhagirath then went and prayed to Shiva. "When Ganga descends most powerfully to rescue my family's army, please restrain the flow of her waters. Only you are powerful enough to perform this feat." Shiva was very pleased with Bhagirath's prayer, and he agreed,
"I will hold her back with my matted hair."
When the goddess Ganga began descending most powerfully, Shiva held her back with his matted hair. But his hair was so thick that Ganga's waters could not flow down to earth at all, and the dead bodies were not being revived. So Shiva took out one of the hairs from his head so that the water could flow through. The flow was not as powerful as it would have been if Shiva had not intervened, but it was still very powerful. It descended and passed near a cottage of a sage named Janu and began washing away his cottage. The sage got mad and started drinking the water until he had drunk the entire amount that had descended. So all the water entered into Janu and none of it touched the soldiers. Bhagirath begged Janu to release the water. So Janu emptied the water through his mouth and the river continued flowing. Finally, it touched the spot where the dead bodies were. As soon as the water touched them, all the soldiers revived. They were exactly the same age as when they had died. Because of this story, the other names of the Ganga are Janabai and Bhagirathi. Om.
That concludes episode 18 of Inspiration Sounds, stories from the heart of the world. I hope you enjoyed that episode, that you found the musical accompaniment to be to your liking. Next week, we're going to do some more stories from Shuchimoy's collection of great Indian meals. So join us then. I hope to have some guests with me as well. I'm Butsamudra. I wish you well. Have a great week.